Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we continue with this month's season of creation. We have looked at God's creation from the beginning, from the addition of humanity. Today we are going to talk and celebrate God's skies. And when I think of skies, I went out this morning and said to Lance, you need to come and look at the stars, because where we live now, we can see some stars. Before we could see stars, but they were mainly the kind that came in and out of clubs. So we looked at the stars this morning, and when I think of the sky and the stars, I think of things like space stations and satellites and all that incredible technology and the way in which we can look at stars. In fact, they just discovered a new planet that circles two suns, just like in Star Wars. So it's like our imaginations are catching up with reality. But when I think of skies, I also think of heavens. I mean, it's a word that we used for, it's an ancient word, it's a lovely word. But when I think of the word heavens, I don't think of satellites. I think of gods and God and all the different myths and stories that have been told. All the wonder, all the mystery is the heavens. The skies and the heavens together kind of make up what they used to think of as a dome over the sky. You heard the choir sing, the heavens are telling the glory of God. The heavens are telling the firmament over the earth. And that firmament was a word that was used a long time ago. It actually comes from the Hebrew. And there was a belief that there was a dome over the sky. But there was also kind of a metal that had been pounded out. That was the firmament that kept the waters from the waters. The waters from the sky and the waters on the earth. It's such a beautiful thing, this idea of gold leaf pounded out over the top of the world. And above it was God, and below it was us. Ancient cultures, all of them, have celebrated the elements, and the elements of the idea of the sky and the heavens are so important. And worshiped and prayed to because your life depended upon it, right? I mean, the sun god, the rain gods, all the gods, in order to have crops, in order to have life, the heavens provided everything. And so people were very faithful to what they believed about what happened in the heavens, because everything they needed came from the heavens. I have a statue of St. Francis in my yard, and so does my neighbor there. We have statues of St. Francis in our yard, and I just love the things that St. Francis has written. He is one of my favorite saints, and I wanted just to read you a little bit of his Canticle of the Sun. He says, "Be praised, my Lord, through all your creatures, especially through my Lord, brother, son, who brings the day and you give light through him, and he is beautiful and radiant in all his splendor. Of you, Most High, he bears the likeness. Be praised, my Lord, through sister moon and the stars in the heavens, you have made them precious and beautiful. Be praised, my Lord, through brothers wind and air and clouds and storms and all the weather through which you give your creature sustenance. Be praised, my Lord, through sister water. She is very useful and humble and precious and pure. The heavens are telling of the glory of the Lord. The heavens, the sky, speak to us of its power and glory and all that it provides us. But the heavens are also telling us something else. The heavens are telling us that we need to pay attention. There is something happening here, and it isn't exactly clear. Here's what the prophet Jeremiah said so very long ago. I looked at the earth, it was chaos and emptiness. I took looked to the heavens, and their light was gone. I looked to the mountains, they quaked, and the hills swayed back and forth. I looked, I saw no one, nothing. All the birds had flown away. I looked, the fertile land was desert, all its towns laid waste before Yahweh, before God's fierce wrath. Thus says Yahweh, the whole land will be desolate, but I will not completely destroy it. So the earth mourns, and the heavens above turn black, for I made known my intentions. I made up my mind. I will not turn back. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This prophet is giving us a warning of the punishment of God. The world will be in chaos and all the light will be gone, for the sky and the earth will quake all over, and the birds will be gone, and everything will laid waste, and the earth will mourn, and the heavens will turn black. Those good old prophets. Don't we love them? Don't we just love them? Isn't it a good thing they aren't around anymore? You might see one on a street corner now and then, but we don't pay too much attention to them. I mean, I'm trying to imagine living in a time when you're going about your daily business and then there's this person who kind of comes across as a pretty old curmudgeon raining on my parade. Those naysayers with all that stuff is not our style. All those dire predictions. No, we need facts. I think, give me facts. Tell me what is really happening, and then I can decide what I should do. I will think about what you've told me, right? And then together we'll make some good decisions, or maybe not all good decisions, but I don't really want a prophet yelling in my face telling me what I should be doing. We need to have intelligent, reasonable conversation about the heavens, right? Right. Prophets. Well, modern society will find no solution to the ecological problem unless it takes a serious look at its lifestyles. That was Pope John Paul II. These prophets, I'm glad they're gone. There is sufficiency in the world for man's need, but not for man's greed. That would have been Gandhi. We won't have a society if we destroy the environment. Margaret Mead. The sun, with all those planets revolving around it and dependent upon it, can still ripen a bunch of grapes as if it had nothing else to do. That's Galileo. We do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. That is a Native American proverb. Only when the last tree has died and the last river has been poisoned and the last fish has been caught will we realize we cannot eat money. That's a Cree Indian proverb. Aren't you glad that those old curmudgeon-y prophets are gone? This is one prophet we heard this week. Average temperatures in the Arctic region are rising twice as fast as they are elsewhere in the world. Arctic ice is getting thinner, melting, and rupturing. For example, the largest single block of ice in the Arctic, the Ward Hunt Ice Shelf, has been around for 3,000 years before it started cracking in the year 2000. Within 2 years, it had split all the way through and is now breaking into pieces. The polar cap, ice cap as a whole is shrinking, and images from NASA satellites show that the area of permanent ice cover is contracting at a rate of 9% each decade. If this trend continues, summers in the Arctic could become ice-free by the end of the century. What does all of this mean? We're skating on thin ice. But aren't you glad we don't have those pesky prophets yelling doom and gloom at us? That would be such an inconvenient truth, wouldn't it? Pardon the cliche, but I just couldn't resist that. The heavens are telling of the glory of the Lord. The heavens are also telling us many things. The sun is trying to say, the very layer that protects you from me is leaving, it's gone. We're out of balance together. The heats, the droughts, so many things. Our earth is being destroyed, and Sister Moon is trying to tell us that through the tides and the waters and the seas that we are out of balance. Brothers and sisters, the voices of our prophets are all around us, warning us that if we do not change our ways, we will be visiting the trees in a tree museum. Now, I want you to all turn to your thought for meditation, and I know that some of you are old enough to do this, although Ivan has never heard this song. Shows my age. So those of you who know this song, I need for you to help me. Okay? Just one little song. Get out your thought for meditation. How many of you know Joni Mitchell? Okay. All right. Joel, you start us off. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. Come on. Hundreds of people, $1.50 just to see him. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Now he knows it. All right. Well, we're going to have to do that again sometime because that was soft.
Right now that we've figured it out.
Okay, Pastor Gary, the singer, wants to do it one more time. All right, stand up, Pastor Gary. Okay.
They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. They charged all the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
Bop, 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 bop. So our sister prophet, Joni Mitchell, tells us we need to stop and think. So the earth mourns and the heaven above turn black, for I made known my intentions. I made up my mind. I will not turn back. I don't believe God. When I read that, I thought, no, I don't believe God, because God always gives us a chance to redeem ourselves. It is never late to turn around, to redeem, to reconcile ourselves to God and God's glorious creation. And I always think that Jesus is our proof of that. Our prophet that assures us of God's eternal love and commitment to the whole creation. Now, I did some serious thinking. What would Jesus say about climate change? He didn't put a whole lot in his teachings, did he, about climate change, about the sun and the moon and the stars, about the rivers and the seas. But he did give us a blueprint for the care of creation. He used nature in almost every teaching he had. He talked about the fig tree and the mustard seed and the vineyard. Because he was connected to the earth and he understood that the people would understand those teachings. Their livelihood depended entirely on what the earth could provide them. If he had stood up and said, you need to be really good stewards of the earth, they probably would have said, duh, you think? I mean, they knew they couldn't live without what the earth provided them. They were interconnected to the earth and all her resources. Jesus tells us to care for one another, to love one another. And we have to, in some ways, learn to expand that out past humanity to the whole creation. The heavens are telling the glory of the Lord. And they're telling us not just to slow down or pause, but to put the brakes on real hard. Jesus gave us a commandment, love one another as God loves you. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. The heavens opened up once, and a voice from the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Amen.